Time for Message in the Bottle. Brought to you every week by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company. 86 Hammond Street in downtown Bangor. Eric Meehan joins us as always. Hello there, sir.
So I have a question, Rich. I mean, you're giving out care, you know, $6 million a year.
Yeah.
I ask you for even a nominal fee for my weekly appearances. You write back to me, how about an associate producer credit? I mean.
I see. I thought a guy like you, you know, small businessmen, we know they're rich. You don't need money. It's the it's the acclaim, right?
Roll, I'm literally bathing in money right now.
Right. I see you, you know, just throwing the, these are only $5 bills. We don't need these.
We don't need these. But you know who's, you know, sadly kind of quasi rolling in the dough? My boy Saquon, he's back in town.
We'll take it. Was it one year, $11 million? I'm fine with that.
One year? I mean, he's, you know, but it's, whatever. I just need them to win.
We want them happy, right? We want a happy Saquon.
I don't think this is a happy Saquon. How could it be a happy Saquon? I don't know. I'm looking at some of the contracts being handed out right now, and I know that's apples and oranges, but you look, for instance, at what the Celtics just handed out today. And
well, yes, yeah.
As a guy who's put your body through, I'm sure, far worse punishment, like, cool. I'm really happy for you.
But it's not the franchise tag. Even, you didn't want that, so it's better.
Yeah. Well, I'll take it. I need all my boys heading into the training camp because we've got a newly re-energized NFC East, and I tell you, it scares the heck out of me.
Oh, yeah.
So let's see where that goes. Woo! All right. Well, I have been sitting down today and realized how horribly late I am on sort of my world tour here. So we're going to just sort of try to crush a couple things today.
Great.
And we'll see where we go. So we're going to start. We finished last week kind of talking about the around the Black Sea, your Georgia, your Armenia. And then today I'd like to talk a little bit about, I guess we're just sort of heading west. We'll talk a little bit about Greece, Croatia, the former Dalmatian coasts, now Croatia, of course, Slovenia, and then we'll get into Italy next week. So as we were talking about last week, we were talking about sort of the origins of people realizing that if you take grapes and do things with them in a controlled environment, things turn out better than if you just kind of let wild yeast and nature take its course. We talked about the first known wine production facility, which is in a cave in Armenia. Today, when we turn our eyes towards Greece, we understand that this is the first evidence of crushing, actual crushing of grapes in the world. Why is that important? Well, because when you would let grapes just sort of crush by gravity, you put just a bunch of grapes in a contained environment. Usually back then, of course, it was more ceramic. Today we deal with cement, stainless steel, etc. But if you let grapes sort of crush themselves, and you, especially if you include like the stems and just kind of let everything go in, it takes on a much, much different character than if you're crushing the grapes and letting the juice run out. That way they're not encountering, you know, the pits of the grape, which contain tannin, perhaps the skin of the particular grape or grapes that we're talking about might have a lot of tannin in it. When you're crushing the grapes and allowing the juice to run freely, you're opening the world up to white wine. If it's a red, you know, like you can have, you know, white wine from red grapes because, of course, most grape juice, as I'll remind you all, is clear, right? It's white when you first let it out, and that's your choice. Is now you're crushing it, and if you turn that spigot on right then and you're crushing red grapes or white grapes or whatever, the juice will run clear. If you leave it in contact a little bit more, it'll start to take on the pigment of the skins, which is how we're now coming up not only with, of course, red wines and rosé wines, but now this new, what is old is new again, phenomenon of orange wines, or in Georgia they call them amber wines. This idea that the skins of the grapes are what really holds the pigment. And again, like I mentioned, the pits. If there are pits, it will give you pithiness, it will give you tannin. So if you're starting to crush grapes and let the juice run free, you're basically opening up the entire world of winemaking with, you know, asterisks there, but you get my point. So so that's, and the other thing that the Greeks did, and this is just so basic, but it's so obvious, is that they brought grapes to much of the known Mediterranean basin, which then obviously once they hit Italy and the Romans started conquering the rest of Europe, changed the face of, you know, alcohol consumption in the world. So in Greece, things to know, places to know. Obviously, a lot of people vacation on the island of Santorini. Santorini, of course, is the home of Assyrtiko, which is the white that they make into their wonderful white wine. Their grapes are trained in literal crowns on the hugging the earth so that the winds that come in off the ocean don't destroy them. There's the region of Nemea in the Peloponnese peninsula. A lot of extraordinarily good reds from there, some interesting whites, and then Nausa in the Macedonian region. Grapes that you should get to know from Greece. Aioritiko, which is also called St. George, but Aioritiko is how it's correctly pronounced. Xenomavro, which is almost like a Pinot Noir-like grape, but with a little bit more tannin. I just mentioned Assyrtiko. Malagousia, wonderful sort of oily, unctuous white. Moscofilero, which is very sort of tropical and wonderful. And in fact, Bangor Wine has an extraordinarily good one in, and have now for about a year and a half, a wine that I worked with probably 15 years ago and finally found again. And then really quickly, just to move a little farther west, I did want to talk about just getting into the near Italy, which is where we'll go next, Croatia and Slovenia. These are obviously, again, ancient wine countries, Croatia being called what was called the Dalmatian coast, right? It is, by the way, Croatia is the world's oldest continually cultivated wine that can still be found. It is a UNESCO World Heritage Site. It is called the Stari Grad Plain. You can go there. The interesting part about this part of the region, part of the world, is that while the imports haven't been great until recently, the vineyard lands are extraordinarily good in terms of exposure, not only in the Croatian coast, which, again, it's much of a coast, so you're getting the balance of the ocean and then the mountainous regions beyond. It's absolutely tremendous. And then once you get into Slovenia, right next to Italy, you're getting this wonderful river that separates Italy and Slovenia, and the slopes that are on the Slovenian side all face like perfectly southwest. It is some of the absolute best vineyard lands in all of Europe, but it's only now that we're starting to get there. Probably no surprise that in the Slovenian side, you do have a lot of, bear in mind, Slovenia not only is kind of abutting Italy, but it's also abutting the part of Italy that has like the Alps. And as we'll remind each other soon, and I'll remind you from years past, a lot of the folks in northern Italy, especially in part of the Alpine regions, they look, as I'm often fond of saying, like extras from The Sound of Music. I mean, blonde hair, blue eyes, Germanic. So there's a lot of not only things like Pinot Grigio, right, that you'd expect from northern Italy, but also some things like Riesling that are being grown along there. So both this mix of Germanic and Italian grapes. However, in Croatia, you're getting some grapes that we really haven't seen here that are really cool. We do have some in right now, and they're kind of, again, we're sort of getting there. This is in the infant stages, but grapes like Plavac Mali and Posip are really, really excellent. So things to sort of look out for when you're in the store. Please ask any of the staff for recommendations, because new stuff is coming in all the time. But yeah, so that's where we're at, and then we'll head into Italy next week.
That sounds like a good plan right there. Thank you, Eric.
Why not? All right, you all be well.
All right, checks in the mail.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Eric Mahan, Bangor Wine and Cheese Company. Message in the bottle every Tuesday.